restless jerk. Lord have mercy, I'm a piece of work.
Thanks for tuning into the Songlines and Tan Lines podcast with Anthony Renfro. Those returning, thank you. Those new to this podcast, welcome. Now let's pull up the anchor and set sail. Well, we lost another one recently. Toby Keith just passed away. That's why I opened the show with a piece of work from Jimmy's album, License to Chill. I thought that was a good little duet they did together. Not my favorite duet by them. I think Sailboat for Sail might be my favorite duet by them. I did an episode on it recently. That's why I didn't feature it today. So go back into the archives and look up that episode. Can't believe Jimmy and Toby now are both gone. Toby Keith was a big... I was thinking about this morning. That Toby Keith was sort of the foundation of 90s country. He was there at the jump. You know, he was right there at the very start. So... there's about five or six artists who kind of started it before him, I think. But Toby was very early on, so he's a big loss in country music. And I can't believe him and Jimmy now both are gone. So that duet at the start is by two people who are no longer with us. That's crazy. Rest in peace, Jimmy. Of course, I say that often, but rest in peace, Toby. You will be missed by a legion of fans. You are not one of my favorites. I'm not going to go on record and say he was my favorite just because he passed. But I did enjoy some of his music. So rest in peace. And to all his fans, to all his family, hang in there. Us Jimmy Buffett fans have been through it. I know it's rough. You will too get through it. This episode, a long time in coming. I don't know if you can tell, my voice is still a little breaking up a little bit. Spiking a little bit on this thing too when I'm talking. I've had a nasty cold, and I've been trying to get this supersized Key West episode out. This is where I went and combined all five of my Key West episodes into one big, gigantic, supersized episode. And I tried to get the sound right over five different episodes, so the sound might spike around a bit. That's the reason why. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and get into that. But before I do dive into those episodes, I want to let you know that I have restarted my Patreon page with some all new rewards and subject matter. If you're an artist, you might find the new rewards interesting. Swing over and check out that Patreon page once you finish. You can find the link to it in the show notes. And I might start doing some subscriptions on this podcast for my, what I'm calling my 5 for 5 podcast, where I go to my apoetryjourney.wordpress.com blog. I grab 5 haiku, 5 poems, 5 haiku and poems combined, something like that. And what I'm going to do is put them into a little small micro episode that you can actually subscribe to and listen to at your leisure in case you do enjoy this sexy voice of mine. So be looking out for that in the future, either here with subscriptions or on the Patreon page. With all that out of the way, let's now head down the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway and spend some time in Key West.
The days drift by, they don't have names. None of the streets here look the same. There's so many quiet places. Smiling eyes match the smiling faces. 'cause I have found me a home.
And yes, Jimmy, after being in Key West, I can see why you found yourself a home. Always enjoyed that song. It's called I Have Found Me a Home from Jimmy's album, A White Sport Coat and a Pink Crustacean. Played live 12 times, according to Setlist FM. First time in 1974, and last time played live in 2020. Way back at the start of December 2022, feels like a lifetime ago as I rewrite this script, I managed to finally make it to Key West, Florida. It was an amazing trip from the time my wife and I landed until the time we got home. We walked that island back and forth and enjoyed every minute of it, and I was really surprised by the fact that my wife wants to go back and that she had just as good a time as me. She's not a warm weather girl, not a parrot head, far from it, trust me, and certainly not a sunshine girl. But there's a magic and vibe in that Key West town that can't be beat. You can feel it when you step off the plane. We stayed in Old Town, which I think helped to make the trip that much better. We were far away from the maddening crowds, noise, and bright lights of Mallory Square and the surrounding areas, and accommodations come highly recommended. We stayed at the Best Western Hibiscus, and that's the place to stay if you go. Great spot, great location. So, this week and next week, I'm going to dive into some tunes about Key West and talk about the highs and lows and in-betweens we had while walking the streets of this amazing tropical town. But before I get into the highlights, let's go ahead and dive into another song. This one is called Magic in Key West, and it's from Howard Livingston and the Mile Marker 24 Band from their album Six Pack and a Tan.
Can you imagine De Leon, when he laid eyes on the paradise he had stumbled on, searching for that fountain to keep from turning gray? I think I might have found it. I'm feeling younger every day, 'cause there's still a lot of magic in Key West. Let me tell you, man, it's as good as it gets. From your first sunrise, take away your breath, sunset. There's still a lot of magic in Key West.
Great tune. Puts me back in an island state of mind every time I hear it. Now, on to some highlights from our Key West trip. First, this had to be one of the craziest experiences of my lifetime, or maybe one of my craziest ideas. And that was not only finding the spot of Jimmy Buffett's first apartment, but actually going there, talking to the people who lived there, and taking an ever so brief peek into their home where Jimmy spent many of his early Key West days. The people who live at this place also run a dive shop next door, and they were very friendly, and I didn't overstay my welcome, in case you are wondering that. I told them why I was there, and they gladly talked to me about Jimmy and the island. It was really cool to do this, a very Jimmy Buffett moment in my mind. Maybe not for my wife, the non-parrot head, who thought I was a bit nuts for doing it, but it was an amazing moment for me and one I will always cherish. I won't give out the address, even though my audience is small, but it's not hard to find with some research. Second, the Hemingway House. You got to go there if you go to Key West, and yes, it lived up to the hype and was well worth the time and effort to tour it from the bottom to the top. Seeing the six-toed cats hanging out around the house, seeing the pool, which was, I think, the first one in Key West, seeing his writing studio. If I could sit in that room and feed off the ghost of Hemingway, who knows what kind of novel I could churn out. Also, it had a basement, which was Hemingway's wine cellar. Not many basements in Key West. I am sure that was a first as well. Third, seeing the original Margaritaville, which is the best one so far for me. I've been to the one in New Orleans and the one in Myrtle Beach. But this one was much better than those two because it didn't feel like it was overrun with tropical extravagance. This felt like a bar, like a legit local bar, and the gift shop was small and quaint. Also, like seeing the pictures of Buffett on the walls of him throughout the years. Bought a shirt, which I plan to wear often, and I was wearing it when I rewrote this script, not wearing it now when I'm recording. I had a margarita and conch fritters while sitting in the Margaritaville restaurant. Not the best conch fritters on the island, more on that later, but not bad either. I'd say if you go skip the conch, grab a margarita, and just enjoy the vibe, that's all you really need to do there, and buy a t-shirt or something like that. Great souvenir. Fourth, seeing the southernmost point was cool, and so was mile marker zero. Got a picture of both of those locations, but I wouldn't stand in line to get a picture at either of them. Not worth it. We took our pictures at the southernmost point at night, and there was no one there. And at mile marker zero, we also found a time when it wasn't packed with people. We lucked out both times, and lucked out many other times as well. We managed to avoid a lot of people at a lot of places because I think we did things early or later, and not during the times when people seemed to be moving about the most. Fifth, the southernmost house was cool to visit and see, and so was the oldest house in Key West. The oldest house you can take a self-guided tour, and the southernmost house you can actually rent a room and stay there for a bit. And they have a great restaurant down by the water. Had our last meal on the island at the southernmost house's restaurant. And if you go there, get the key lime pie covered in pina colada sauce. Excellent way to cap off a meal. Sixth, enjoyed seeing the roosters and chickens running wild across the island and seeing other tropical wildlife, iguanas and curly-tailed lizards and other lizards. Saw some pelicans and seagulls and doves and other birds. You know, typical wildlife. I think the roosters probably get old to the locals because they do crow a lot down there, day and night. But for our little brief trip, it was fun to see them running around. Let me take another talking pause and dive into another song. This one is called Florida Key from the album Lost on the River, the New Basement Tapes. And apparently the group playing this song, a song Bob Dylan wrote but never recorded, it's a supergroup consisting of Elvis Costello, Rhiannon Giddens, Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes, who I have featured on the podcast, Jim James, and Marcus Mumford.
Miami woman, so fine and fair. I try and try, but I can't get anywhere. I sail out into the sun, looking for my darling, my only one. I sail all day, and when the day is done, she's still the one I wanna see. I must find that Florida key. Street in Maine, I walk up and down, but it's all in vain. My only darling is gone. Took everything and put it out on the lawn. And Jim came and got it, and he gave it to John. It's getting harder and harder to be me. I must find that Florida key.
Good song. Been wanting to share that one for a bit, and I kind of forced it into this episode, I guess. It's not really a Key West song, but I think it captures the spirit of that island and the Keys in general. Seventh, conch fritters, key lime pie, and mahi-mahi. I had great mahi-mahi sandwiches at several restaurants, amazing conch fritters at Louie's Backyard, and I had so many versions of key lime pie. It was ridiculous. Blue Heaven had to be the best place for key lime pie. The picture I posted on Instagram of that pie is from there. And if you want to see that on Instagram, just check the show notes. You can find my link and all the information there. It was so good. That key lime pie from Blue Heaven was so good, it made my knees buckle. It was amazing. I also enjoyed trying frozen key lime pie on a stick. Delicious. And I even had key lime pie covered in a pina colada sauce, which I mentioned before. I will say that I was surprised that all three of those foods were in such abundance in Key West. I thought that you'd find a restaurant or two that specialized in conch fritters, key lime pie, or mahi-mahi, but I didn't think you'd see all three of those items everywhere you went. Key lime pie especially. I even had key lime pie ice cream once. The place was crazy with key lime pie, and I didn't hate it. Always loved that dessert, and would love to go back and have it again and again and again and again and again. Frozen from the store will never be the same again, but we did find a local bakery who makes a really good key lime pie, so if I get a hankering for it, I might drop the cash again and pick one of those up for a special occasion. Eighth, literally going down to Captain Tony's in order to get out of the heat. Really cool to see that bar, the signed bras and dollar bills hanging all over the place, and the pictures of Jimmy Buffett throughout the years, some with Captain Tony, some without. It was also really dark inside, cave-like, and the stage was super small. It would be cool to see Jimmy in that spot as he crawled his way up the ranks as a singer-songwriter back in the day. Ninth, my wife got to meet and get an autograph from one of her favorite authors, Judy Blume. Some of you may have heard of her. Some of you may have even read her work. And I am glad my wife got that experience since I was having so many parrothead moments myself. It was a little something for her in the tropical heat. It was pretty cool. She bought a book from Judy, talked to Judy, got an autograph from Judy Blume, who actually owns, I think, this little bookstore in Key West and works there part-time. So that was all pretty cool. We managed to find a time and place to go in there and just sort of casually say, hey, oh, you're Judy Blume. You're working today, aren't you? But Judy, she was a champ. She's been through it before. You know, buy a book, get an autograph. But the cool thing was she hung out and talked to us for a little bit. She didn't treat us like just fans or anything like that, especially my wife, who I could tell was speechless. We just had a normal conversation, just chit-chatting. That was a really cool experience. 10th, sunsets, sunsets, and sunsets. Wherever we went, the sunsets were amazing, and not just at Mallory Square. We walked out to Fort Zachary Taylor Historic State Park Beach. Man, it's a lot of words together. Long walk in the heat, well worth it, and hung out on that beach and watched an incredible sunset over the water. We even found a pier just off of Higgs Beach, where we also saw another incredible sunset. Unfortunately, we didn't see the sunrise, even though we were up most mornings around that time. Not sure why we didn't do that. Guess I need to pencil that in on my next trip. 11th, the lighthouse was cool to visit and to get some pictures from. We went late in the day and had the place to ourselves. You can get a really good view of the island from the top. Well worth climbing the stairs to get that view. Probably not worth it if it's crowded with people. Just an FYI. So, those are most of the highs that I can remember, but there are probably more that I'm not thinking of, like the weather. Perfect. Barely moved 3 degrees between the nights and days, and it sat right about mid to upper 70s the whole time we were there. No rain. Sunshine. Walking was also a big highlight. We stumbled onto so much stuff and so much history just going walkabout around the island. To me, if you want to really see Key West, put your two legs in motion. I know bikes and golf carts and scooters and cars are easy ways to get around, but you miss a lot when you're riding. Sure, we were tired and exhausted at the end of each day, but when it was all said and done, and I was back home typing on this computer, it was totally worth the extra fatigue. In closing, I lived in Tampa in 1996 for about a year. I was young, foolish, out of a bad breakup, and chasing the song lines of Jimmy Buffett. I stayed there about a year before the money dried up and I returned home. I realized I wasn't Jimmy Buffett because I don't have his kind of money to stay there for long. I tried to get to Key West then, but couldn't. I was too broke. After returning home, I vowed to eventually get to Key West, and it took me 26 years to get there. But I have to say, this was the best trip I have ever taken. And I've seen a few places throughout the world. But Key West, there is some magic still there, even if a lot of what used to be Key West is gone. I can't recommend a trip to Key West enough. And that was hard to get through, man. I've got a few misty eyes right now, just trying to close out this episode, man. I don't know if it was so much the trip that is putting me in this spot, but when you hunger and long and want to be somewhere and you get there and you have a great experience, and me and my wife get to have a great experience together and to kind of be just us again like we were when we first were starting out, that just kind of breaks you up a little bit, you know, when you talk about it. So anyways, I really can't recommend a trip down there enough. Try and find a time when it's not tourist season, where everything's overrun. I think you'll have a much better experience. Stay in a quieter spot like we did towards Old Town. But we hit it at the right time, and it made the trip that much more magical. So if you've been to Key West, I would love to hear some thoughts about your experiences, good or bad. You know, what do you think of Mallory Square? What do you think of Duval Street? What do you think of the big places there, the Hemingway House, etc., etc.? What were your first thoughts stepping off that plane, seeing the Welcome to the Conch Republic splashed across the airport wall? That was cool. Also loved the experience of actually coming out of the plane, walking down into the tarmac and going into the building. Something that's going away, I think, as of 2024. They're putting in a new airport there. But when, man, we got to Key West and I got to step off the plane like Bogey from one of those old black and white movies from the 40s. That's what it reminded me of. So, so cool. Jesse Rice will close out the episode today with a song called Key West Time from his album The Pirate Sessions. Take care.
Guitars and a tropical breeze. Hummingbirds mind the words as they dance in the trees. It's a flashback kind of crowd. It's a cabaret sound. There's still some magic left in this tourist town. Those crazy days and crazy ways we never want to undo. We'll be together now and forever at the Blue Heaven Rendezvous.
Amazing song. That one is called Blue Heaven Rendezvous from Jimmy's album Barometer Soup, and it is a song all about the Blue Heaven restaurant in Key West. I talked to a lady who works there, and she's met him, and she said he's super nice, and he always orders a cheeseburger when he drops by. I immediately wanted to order said cheeseburger, but it was late, and my wife was ready to roll, and I had just turned 50, so probably not the best of ideas. She didn't see the importance of ordering a cheeseburger in paradise, a literal cheeseburger in paradise, that Jimmy eats all the time, so I let it go. Guess I didn't need that burger after all. And trying to switch back to the script, I checked Setlist FM, and if you can believe this, this amazing song has never been played live at all. Zip, zero, nada, zilcho, a big goose egg. And that is a shame, because it is an amazing song from start to finish. Last week, I dove into my Key West highlights. Hope you enjoyed that episode. And this week, I'll be diving into some negatives from the trip, which isn't much, and these aren't exactly true negatives. Well, maybe one of them is, but there are not many negatives to be had down there in paradise, other than the crowds and cruise ships. The first thing I want to dive into, I'm calling the in-between experiences. Experiences that were kind of in the middle for me, neither good nor bad. Enjoy doing them or seeing them, but it's nothing I feel a pull to go back to do again. Okay, this might be one that upsets a lot of people, and I do apologize, but I'm going to get into it. The Mallory Square Sunset, or should I say the Mallory Square Experience, was amazing to witness and to see, but you really only need to see it one time, and that's it.
Whoa!
Okay, I know. I knew someone was going to throw something. Just everybody, take a breath, okay? There are plenty of places in Key West to watch the sunset, and all the sunsets are just as beautiful as the one at Mallory Square. And most of the time, they are people-free and relaxing, at least from my brief experience. I'm not a local, so I don't know if Mallory is the absolute best place all year to see the sunset, and that's why it's so popular. But when we were there, we never saw a bad sunset anywhere. Seeing the sights and the spectacle of Mallory Square before the sunset and after was fun, but I feel like once is enough for me. Have you seen the sunset from Mallory Square? Songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com is the place to reach out to me. Duval Street was cool to witness and see, but it is extremely busy. And if you can find ways to skirt around that street and then dive back onto it at the location you're looking for, that to me is a better way to do it. Plenty of great side streets and hidden places off of that famous main artery. And my wife and I stumbled onto lots of hidden gems by getting off Duval Street and some great restaurants too. And here's a strange one. I heard no Buffett tunes when I was there, other than the ones on my earbuds. None of the local musicians were playing his music, no bar had his music on the speakers, and even in the Margaritaville restaurant, I heard no Buffett tunes. They were playing reggae, actually, which was good. It was really good reggae, and I enjoyed it, but I was kind of surprised by that. I'm not really sure why this is. I found it odd, but maybe his music is so much a part of that town, and that town is so much a part of his music that it doesn't need to be played in Key West. Who knows? I just found it odd. Before I get to my biggest negative and a few nitpicks from the trip, let's take a talking pause and dive into another song. This one is called Key Lime Pie by Kenny Chesney from his album Be As You Are, Songs from an Old Blue Chair. Played live 3 times. First time in 2007 and last time played live in 2010. That makes it a true deep cut for Kenny, and I am glad I am featuring it.
Big straw hat, banana drink. I can't remember what it is I'm thinking. My key lime pie. Ocean breeze, tire swing, coconut.
always like that one. Makes me hungry just listening to it. Now, let me dive into the biggest negative on my trip and biggest waste of time as well. It was the Truman White House, which was expensive to get in. There's not much to see, and you have to follow a guided tour in order to get the most benefit out of it. You can't do a self-walking tour and really get the full effect of the place, like with the Hemingway House, which was amazing to visit. Also, my wife and I got into a bit of trouble at the Truman White House, just a wee bit, just a tiny little bit, for doing that self-guided tour. We didn't know we couldn't do that. Nobody told us that you have to go on the guided tour or else, and you are not allowed to self-tour the property. Not sure how we slipped in undetected, but we did. And the staff wasn't as nice as they could have been throughout the experience. It was one of the few places down there that really wasn't all that welcoming. It's a beautiful house with a beautiful grounds and great history, but not worth the time or money spent. If you enjoy Truman and presidential things, then you might get more out of it than we did. But I'd say if you aren't that person, then skip it and spend your time elsewhere. Let me now dive into one more song before getting into a few nitpicks or minor annoyances from the trip. The song I'm about to play is called Key West Heart by Hugo Duarte from his album Another Day in Paradise, and here it is.
I'm still loaded from the mission last night. 21 of the coconut commandos raided the Hawk's Breath and did it upright. I'm going down to Louis for a cold one, dodging the holes that they put in the street. Old Kincaid says it gets you in the long run. I need the hair of the dog that got me. Sailor's logbook is yellowed and brittle, the pages are falling apart, but he's safe in these moments for the rest of his life, locked away in his Key West heart.
Great tune, digging it. I haven't listened to a lot by Hugo, but I do like the sound of that song. How about a few nitpicks, some tiny annoyances. The word southernmost is used for everything. I mean everything down there. I get it. You're at the end of the continental United States and you can't go any further than this. But that word was extremely overused. We even found a house that called itself the southernmost house. The plane ride up and down wasn't as smooth as it could have been either, but we were in smaller planes, so that is to be expected. However, there were a few landings that were rough, and one landing, I think it was the last landing we had, the pilot hit the brakes so hard that it threw me forward in my seat. But other than those few moments, most of the plane rides were great and smooth, and I had a window seat leaving Key West, courtesy of a bumped to first class for about $90, so we definitely took that. And it was really cool to see the Keys from the air. They are really beautiful to look at when you're so far up. I bet Jimmy has seen some amazing views in his seaplane as he soared over those islands throughout the years. That kind of wraps up my Key West trip, all the highs and lows and in-betweens. Have you been to Key West? What are your thoughts about that town? Songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com is the place to send those answers, and I would love to feature them on the podcast at some point in time. And I swear, I don't know what's going on with my recording platform today, but my sound has been yo-yoing around like I don't know what. My voice is high, my voice is low. I'm going to try and fix it in post. Sounds real fancy when I say it like that, doesn't it? Going to fix it in post. But I want to try and fix it, and I hope to goodness by the time you guys reach this point that you haven't been going like, geez Louise, what's up with this guy? Can't he record a freaking podcast? Well, today, it ain't my fault. I don't know what's going on. So I go away from it, put my music in, I come back to talk, it's skyrocketed. I put my music back in again, it's low, I don't know what's going on. Personal issues, podcast issues, I know you don't care. I'm just trying to wrap up the episode. And the song that will close out the episode is a song called Drunk on Mallory Square by Danny Hoy from her album Tropigal.
And a rum punch then, headed down Front Street to find my friends. They'd all gone down Mallory Square. Key West chickens led the way, escorted me to the end of my day. Felt as if I was in a dream. The square was one huge circus theme. I was drunk on Mallory Square, all of my crazy friends.
To play the rest of that song, only was going to play a part of it, but I was so close to the end, I was like, you know what, let's just finish this daggone thing. I'm sure nobody out there will object to finishing a Buffett song on this podcast, right? Leftovers. We all like leftovers, right? I think I heard someone say it. Yep, you said it up there too. Yeah, over here, 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 yeah. Everybody, we all kind of like leftovers, right? I mean, maybe it depends on what kind of leftovers. Yeah, I know. I agree with you over there. Pizza is a really good leftover. Chinese food, you're right. Chinese food, fish, you're right. That's not a good one. Anyways, we all do like leftovers, depending on what they are. And this episode could sort of be called the leftover episode, if I wanted to so call it that. But I think the third Key West episode, making a nice trilogy with the last two I did, that has a better ring to it. This article I am about to share was supposed to be a part of my second Key West episode. You get it? The leftover theme? I didn't do it last week, so I'm doing it this week. It's a leftover. Okay, am I driving that point home too much? Probably am. I was going to do this on my second Key West episode. It was too long, so I cut it out. Don't like my time to go too long on these podcasts. It's a bear to edit them and for you to listen to them if they go too long. But that part of the script was written, so what do I do with it? I asked myself this because I hate to throw out stuff I spent time on. I decided, after a few minutes of thought,
to make it part of this episode, my third Key West episode, because there were also a few songs that didn't make it into the other two episodes as well that I wanted to share. So mix them all together and we get an episode. More on those songs in a moment. But before I get there, let me dive into the article I was going to cover, which is called Jimmy Buffett Looks at 50 Years After His First Key West Gig from Local10.com. Here are a few things I pulled from the article. It reads, photographer and author Tom Corcoran was with Buffett at the very beginning when the struggling young hippie cast his voice and acoustic guitar loose on Duval Street and Mallory Square with a handful of good early tunes, like Railroad Lady, which Buffett wrote with Jerry Jeff Walker and The Captain and the Kid. Let's take a pause here for 1 second. Imagine seeing a young Jimmy Buffett sitting on Mallory Square playing The Captain and the Kid and Railroad Lady acoustically as the sun sets. Oh my goodness, how amazing would that be? All right, back to the article. Corcoran documented Buffett from the start in the early 1970s. His photos as the pair wandered about the Keys on gig days and social outings around the world adorned album cover artwork on packages including Havana Daydreaming, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, Son of a Sailor, You Had to Be There, Record It Live, and Volcano. His images from the Keys years fill video screens to this day at Buffett concerts. And the article moves forward from there to another part of it I wanted to share. It says, the pair, Corcoran and Buffett, were in Stanley Cay, an island in the Bahamas, when they came upon what was essentially the only phone on the island inside a little concrete block building. Buffett picked up the phone and called his management, Collect. Do you guys remember Collect? I know I do. And jumping just a notch forward in the article, this was the outcome of the phone call. Buffett said, let me call LA, see if I still have a job. That is the exact words. I'm going to call LA and see if I still have a job, Corcoran recalled. They just recorded Changes in Latitudes at Criteria Studios in November and December 1976, and he got a modest advance from ABC Dunhill at that point. And he wondered if his career was going to go up in smoke after only 4 albums, and now maybe a 5th. And so he pledged, Jimmy Buffett, that advance would go to a sailboat so he could at least sail away from the dock and flip the bird back at the people who decided he wasn't worthy of a career. That changed the day that he found out Margaritaville was number 29 and climbing. That's a funny image. The idea of Jimmy sailing away with a big F-U. That sounds like me in my youth, man. I was always full of piss and vinegar when I was younger. I've mellowed a lot since then, but I tell you what, there are still times to this day where I feel like throwing the bird at certain things. And the last part of the article is all about how Jimmy hustled his way up the ranks in Key West, and it really helps to show just what kind of business mind he has. The dude knows how to hustle and get what he wants. Case in point, this part of the article. I was the bartender maybe 4 in the afternoon, Corcoran said. I hadn't seen Murphy or Jerry Jeff Walker for maybe a few months, and they had this sort of struggling young hippie with them, and they introduced him. It was Jimmy Buffett. And you know, nobody could make out the last name, Jimmy Bumfum. But anyway, I wanted to be the genial host, and I said to Jimmy, what are you drinking? And he kind of got this look in his eyes that said, well, I wonder who's paying. And I read that and I said, first one's free, welcome to Key West. So he ordered a Heineken and we yakked for a while on this and that. And they said, oh, Jimmy's down from Nashville. He's a singer-songwriter too. Oh, cool. So that was my first meeting with Jimmy. Served him his first beer and it was a freebie, which is, I'm sure, one of the reasons he stuck around. A week or two later, Buffett returned to Key West from Coconut Grove and had fallen in love with the island. Corcoran said, he came to me in the bar one afternoon. He said, do you think I can play for drinks? I made this pretense of going out to talk to the owner, and so I came back and I said, well, I guess you're good to go.
When I went to get him a Heineken, he said, "No, I'll take a Crown Royal on the rocks." And so I went, "Oh, this guy's going places." And that just kind of shows you, that last little blurb, how much of a hustler and how smart of a businessman he is. He knew he had free drinks. "Don't give me no Heineken. Give me a Crown Royal. Give me the good stuff, man. It's on the house now. I can drink what I want." So that's perfect business right there, isn't it? All right, now on to some music. The song that opened the episode is called "My Head Hurts, My Feet Stink, and I Don't Love Jesus," from Jimmy's masterpiece of an album, Havana Daydreamin'. I stumbled into Fausto's Grocery while in Key West on a whim. My wife was looking for some fresh fruit, which is hard to find, but you can find it if you look hard enough for it. And she was like, "Well, there's this local grocery up here called Fausto's." And I was like, snapped in my brain right there. It's like, oh my goodness, that's from Jimmy Buffett's song, "My Head Hurts, My Feet Stink, and I Don't Love Jesus." And that was the way the Key West trip went for me. All this stuff would just be thrown out there. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, I know that song. I know where that came from. Jimmy's mentioned that before. That was really, really cool. My wife didn't really get the coolness of it, but I did. And I love going into Fausto's and just seeing the spot where Jimmy probably walked years and years ago, and probably still does to this day, goes in from time to time. And this song, "My Head Hurts, My Feet Stink, and I Don't Love Jesus," has been played live 95 times in concert, which I found surprising. I had no idea it had that kind of a live run. Good for it. It's a great song and deserving of multiple concert plays. It was first played live in 1976 and was last played live for the last time in 2020 in Key West at the Margaritaville Cafe. And it looks like Jimmy played a full set in 2020 at the Margaritaville Cafe. 18 songs in all, according to Setlist FM. I would have loved to have seen that show. It would have been awesome. Now let me move on to some other songs that almost made my first two Key West episodes. First song, it's called "Always Saturday Night" by Tom Shepherd, and it's a single. It's not attached with any album, as far as I can tell. Here it is. Solid tune, like the sound of it. And here's another song that almost made the cut. It's called "Another Day in Paradise" by Hugo Duarte. I think I got that name right. And you may recognize that name because I featured another song by him in one of my Key West episodes called "Key West Heart." I did want to feature two by him, so I picked one instead of the other. But since I'm taking care of leftovers, I thought I should go ahead and play this one. And like the last song I featured by him, "Key West Heart," this song can also be found on his album, "Another Day in Paradise."
Blowing in, there's a smell of the rain on the road, and the wind ever so still. Seems to me it's kind of surprising. The people are gathered on Mallory Square, getting off on their craziness that's happening there, paying respects to the sun as it sits on the horizon. And the chief is getting ready to pull all his boats from the water. The bars are gearing up for a drinking man's night on the town. I'm getting ready to take me a nice cool shower and go and find a young lady who's interested in fooling around.
I don't know if you do or not, but I just dig this trop rock sound. Fills me with joy, and I love music that just fills me with joy. It's so good. And the last song I'm going to feature will close out the episode, the song that will close out the episode, I should say. The final leftover, the last piece of a scrap, it's called Key West Address by James Slater from his album Key West Address, and it's another solid tune. Or I wouldn't be featuring it, right?
Down on the corner of Angela and Duval, there are hustlers and buccaneers. The sound of music is in the air from the street side of balladeers. Calypso poets pay their rent, so be generous with the old tip jar. While up the road, millionaires buy up homes with 10 by 12 foot yards. Me, I keep things simple. I don't make a ripple. Give me a Key West address, a tattooed waitress, and a fish that's bigger than the hole in my net. A good bottle of rum, a fine Cuban cigar, life will take care of the rest. Give me a Key West address. Give me a Key West address. There goes Captain Outrageous and the Mango Doctor, Blowfish Ed and Serpent Jeff. We feed our families with the bounty of the sea. It don't get better than that.
Key West. Well, time to head back to the island one more time. I thought after doing my third Key West episode that I had wrung this topic dry, wrung it out like a sponge. But then Jimmy decided to do not two, but four concerts in Key West. And I received an email about experiences in Key West from a listener of this podcast. I thought, since I want to dive into the email and Buffett's set list from his Key West shows, why not just make another Key West episode? How about it? You guys ready for it? Yeah, I know. Thank you over there. I know you're really happy for it, aren't you? Yeah, you don't frown. It's another episode. Just one episode. Be happy about it, okay? Geez, there's always one person in every crowd, right? All right, so here we are, and here we go. This email I received is from Tommy. Thanks for reaching out. Tommy says in his email, "The Conch Train came highly recommended. I believe I heard, read an interview with Jimmy Buffett that said the best way to see the island was to see it from the Conch Train. I was able to get a lot of insight on different areas of the island. And I do regret not taking the Conch Train with my wife at least once. We should have taken the time for that. It could have been a fun experience." Tommy goes on to say, "I checked out the southernmost point, the lighthouse, Blue Heaven, the cemetery, Mallory Square, Hog's Breath, Sloppy Joe's, Captain Tony's, and so much more. I was surprised to hear you didn't go down to Fausto's for some chocolate milk," with a smiley face after that. "My first night ever on the island, I walked to Margaritaville and had myself a cheeseburger in paradise and land shark. It wasn't the best meal I ever had in my life, but it just felt right. I saw the boat drunks there a few nights. I saw Hugo Durante play Hog's Breath Saloon. And I agree with Tommy. Same with the conch fritters I had. Not the best food, but it just felt right to do that at the Margaritaville Cafe and to have a Margaritaville there as well." Did I just say Margaritaville? You can't drink a Margaritaville. Yeah, I know that. I know that. Don't call me out on that. What I meant to say was to have a Margaritaville. I did it again. Let me do this one more time. I might just leave that in. What I meant to say was to have a margarita there as well. And this next part of the email is really cool. Tommy says, a few years later, I was fortunate to raise a glass in Captain Tony's the night he passed. I went back to read the words on that dingy wall. I think you guys might know the lyrics to that song he's referencing there. And that's a great memory to have. I bet Captain Tony was a character and one that would have been fun to sit down with and share a drink or two. I bet he had some tales to tell. Tommy also said, I've both driven and flown to and from the island. I enjoyed the drive with pit stops along the way. Howard Livingston lives at mile marker 24, so he sings of bars that are worthy of the stop. And I have featured Howard Livingston and his band a few times on the podcast. Really like their music. One of my favorites in the trop rock world. And Tommy also gave me his Buffett origin story. Here's part of what he said. My Buffett origin story goes something like this. In 1996, Jimmy Buffett played Schoolboy Heart on TV to promote the newly released Banana Wind album. That song really resonated with me, so I went out the very next day to buy the CD. The CD was on repeat that whole summer in my car. A girl I was dating at the time bought tickets to see Jimmy play Nissan Pavilion later that summer. There was something about the atmosphere, or maybe it being my first concert, that really had an impact on me, but it's hard to say exactly what sealed the deal for me. In Jimmy's own lyrics, it was my first look, baby, that's all it took. I also have fond memories of Banana Wind. I bought that CD when I was living in Florida, Tampa, Florida to be exact, and broke in the new Jimmy album by cruising through a tropical background. It really helped to set the scene, and I was driving a pickup truck at the time, too. It wasn't as bad as Jimmy's $100 pickup truck, but nice symmetry there, right? Is that the right word? I think it is. Anyways, here is a song from Banana Wind, an album that I think I've only covered two songs from. That's a shame. It's a great album from start to finish. And this song is called Schoolboy Heart, obviously, right? Of course I'd play this one since I just talked about it, right? Yeah, okay, let's go. Let's get into it. Let's go.
Breaking free. Breaking free. Cause I got a schoolboy heart. A novelist's eye. Stout sailor's legs. And the license to fly. I got a bartender ear. And a beachcomber style.
It's been played live 228 times. Solid running concert. First time in 1996 and last time played live in 2019. And Tommy also gave me his concert stats. How many times he's seen Jimmy live, and they are really impressive. Here's what he said. He, meaning Jimmy Buffett, used to play back-to-back nights locally before he began with the Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday schedule. I'd say I've been somewhere between 20 to 30 Jimmy shows. I've seen him play Merriweather Post Pavilion and Jeffy Lube live quite a few times, a handful in Atlantic City and on the Today Show Summer Concert Series, and once in Uncasville, Connecticut. I'm not sure how to say that word. Uncasville, Uncasville, Connecticut. Anybody in Connecticut knows how to say that, let me know. Camden, New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland, and at Madison Square Garden in New York City. That makes my 9 concerts seem a bit small. And like I told Tommy, there's no reason for me not to have seen Jimmy a lot more. He comes to the Raleigh area often. I certainly had my chance, but for some reason, his concerts, like many other concerts, have just passed me by throughout the years. I honestly don't like crowds, and I don't like tight spaces, So maybe there's something to that that keeps me from going to too many shows. I also am a creature of routines and habits, and I don't like to break those very much. Once I set a routine, I can get pretty dull. So who knows the reason why I haven't gone to too many shows. I've certainly had my chances since becoming a fan in the early 90s. Thanks, Tommy, for reaching out to me. And if you have a Key West story or a Buffett origin story, please send me an email, songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com. Now, let's dive into those Jimmy Buffett Key West shows. His first show, this one, was at the Key West Theater. Here's the set list. Everybody's Talking, The Great Filling Station Hold Up, Midnight Rider. That's a question mark for me. I'm not sure why he did Midnight Rider. Maybe the Allman Brothers spent some time in Key West and that's why he did it. Not sure about that. My Lovely Lady, I Have Found Me a Home, Railroad Lady, a personal favorite, Peanut Butter Conspiracy, Grapefruit Juicy Fruit, He Went to Paris, Cuban Crime of Passion, They Don't Dance Like Carmen No More, Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw, Death of an Unpopular Poet, There Was an Intermission, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, Pencil Thin Mustache, Knees of My Heart, It's 5 o'clock somewhere in Key West, Florida. He played that song. Not sure why, when there's a lot of other Key West songs he should have been playing. Moving on, Come Monday, Son of a Sailor, Last Mango in Paris, Volcano, A Pirate Looks at 40, Margaritaville, Nautical Wheelers, and Tin Cup Chalice. And both of those were Jimmy solo. So that means it was just Jimmy and an acoustic guitar on the stage. My God, I would have loved to have seen that. That'd been so cool. It's a great set, great song choices. But Jimmy did another show at this same theater. And here's that set list. Everybody's Talking, Pencil Thin Mustache, Jolly Mon Sing, Son of a Sailor, It's 5 o'clock somewhere, going earlier in the set this time, Grapefruit Juicy Fruit, I Found Me a Home. Here's a good one. My Head Hurts, My Feet Stink, and I Don't Love Jesus. You gotta play that one, because you got the old Fausto's thing in there. Havana Daydreaming, 90 Miles from Cuba. Gotta play that one too. Growing Older But Not Up, One Particular Harbor, There Was an Intermission, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, He Went to Paris, Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street. What would have been really cool if Jimmy would have done an acoustic performance standing on Caroline Street with this song. That would have been pretty cool to see. He did Knees of My Heart, nice deep cut. They Don't Dance Like Carmen No More, Fins, Volcano, Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, Tin Cup Chalice, Back Where I Come From. That was probably Mac McAnally. I think he does that song to give Jimmy a break. Last Mango in Paris, A Pirate Looks at 40, Margaritaville, Southern Cross. Nice to see that one. Come Monday closed that set. And it was another great set and another great show and another show that I wish I could have seen. I was in Key West almost 2 months to the day of the first theater show. If he would have done this in December, my wife and I, we might have had some issues because I would have tried to go to that show. Any of those shows if I was down there. Sorry, honey, I love you, but Buffett in Key West, that's a bucket list trip right there in itself. And after the Key West theater shows, he moved his entourage over to the Coffee Butler Amphitheater, which I walked past several times when I was there. And I heard that Doyle Grisham and Tina, I think Gullickson, hope I'm getting that right, were not at the show because they couldn't fit on the stage. So kind of gives you an idea how small that stage was. That's what I heard. Don't know if it's true, but I heard that. Here's the set list from the first show at the amphitheater. Migration. That's a nice, deep cut. Like starting to show off with that one. Fins, Pencil Thin Mustache, Grapefruit Juicy Fruit, Jolly Mon Sing, Volcano, Son of a Sailor, It's 5 o'clock somewhere, of course, Come Monday, Cheeseburger in Paradise, Growing Older But Not Up, Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street, Little Martha, which I think this was the first appearance in Key West. I think it's more like an instrumental acoustic number. I think it's an old Allman Brothers song, if I'm not mistaken. Havana Daydreaming, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, Last Mango in Paris, he went to Paris. Nice little back-to-back Paris set there. One particular harbor, a pirate looks at 40, back where I come from once again, Margaritaville. Then he had the encore, the band intros. Then he did Southern Cross, Nautical Wheelers, and Tin Cup Chalice. Another great set list. He was really digging deep in the treasure chest for some of these, and Nautical Wheelers was fun to see getting played live again. I thought I would give that one a brief nod. Here it is.
Stars that you know. Come on and dance with me, Nautical Wheelers. I want so badly to go. Where the left foot will follow, where the right foot is traveling, down to the sidewalks unglued, into the streets of my city so neat, where nobody cares what you do.
Always liked that one, and always felt like it could have been a part of the Big Eight. Kind of surprised me it wasn't. And it only had a chance to shine 42 times in concert, first time in 1974, and of course, last time played live in 2023. I wonder if this song will become a regular on tour, or is it only going to be in the Key West shows? Not sure, but I would love to see it return to the set. And the last set list, hope you guys are hanging in there. I know it's a lot of words and a lot of songs, but I want to dive into each one of them because it seems kind of special to me. This is the last show in Key West for now. I do think when Buffett retires, he should throw a gigantic parrot head party in Key West and play this amphitheater about 20 times over for about 5 straight weeks just to give every parrot head a chance to get down there and see it at least once. That's what I think. If you ever hear this thing, Jimmy, please don't get mad that I played your music. And two, let's have a party in Key West when you retire. Does that sound good? All right. Anyways, this is the way the set goes. He opened with Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw. That is a rowdy song to open a concert with. Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes came next. Pencil Thin Mustache, Fins, got kind of an early drop. Grapefruit, Juicy Fruit, Growing Older But Not Up. Volcano, Son of a Sailor, It's 5 o'clock Somewhere. That's funny, that song was at the end at one of the shows, it seems like, but then it was towards the front at the rest of them. I'm not sure why he moved it around. Come Monday was next, Cheeseburger in Paradise, Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, Coconut Telegraph, There's Little Martha again, Max Little Time to Shine. And I've heard some people talking about that maybe they should drop Little Martha, that maybe it's getting a little tired in concert. So there's that floating around out there. Jimmy went on to play I Have Found Me a Home, Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street, He Went to Paris, Cuban Crime of Passion, One Particular Harbor, A Pirate Looks at 40, Back Where I Come From, once again, and Margaritaville, right before the encore and the band intros, and he closed the show with Last Mango in Paris, and of course, Tin Cup Chalice, because I know he wrote Tin Cup Chalice all about seeing that sunset at Mallory Square for the first time, so it kind of makes sense that he would close his final night, his final set, his final show with that song. And like I said in my notes, it's another great set and some more deep, deep cuts. I hope you enjoy diving into these sets. I know it's a lot, like I said before, but I just want to put them out there in case you haven't had a chance to look into them like I have. Amazing to see what he dusted off while performing all 4 shows. Goes to prove he doesn't need to play certain songs so many times. And I'm not picking on It's 5 o'clock Somewhere. I'm really not. I just don't think it needs to be at every show. I get why he does it. It was a huge song for him in his career. I get it. But I don't know. They just feel like it could be another Key West song he could have slipped in there instead of that one a few times. Anyways, like I said in my notes, he can still crank out the classics when he wants to. So maybe he'll crank out some more classics on tour this year. And maybe I'll get a chance to see him for my 10th time this year. And here's a quick sidebar. Do you know who Coffee Butler is? The reason why the amphitheater was named for him? Here's a bit about him from the WUSF News website. It states, he excelled at baseball too, well enough to go pro. After serving in the Army during the Korean War, he returned home, married, and started playing at local spots like the Hukulea. I don't know where that is, but if you do, let me know. And he'd play for weddings and funerals in the island's black community. He would not charge a dime. He would just go around spending his time helping people in the community, his son Dennis Butler said. His father was also an avid fisherman, he said. We'd go out there and do some conking and catch fish. I remember him as a real good father. He taught us some good values. He taught us all about the island, Dennis Butler said. Coffee Butler had offers to go play bigger venues out of town, but he turned them down. He loved Key West so much, he wouldn't leave Key West, his son said. Clayton Lopez, a cousin, said he heard a slightly different version of the story. He loved Key West more and, well, the stories I heard growing up is he loved his wife more, Lopez said. One of his signature songs was The Beautiful Isle of Key West, written by another Key West musical icon, Ellen Wilters Sanchez, who was also Butler's music teacher. In 2020, the city of Key West named its new waterfront amphitheater for him. Nice to learn all that and to put a bit of backstory to the man who has his name on the amphitheater in Key West. And another quick sidebar, I'm going to include a bunch of links from YouTube concerning Key West in the show notes. Some are from Jimmy's shows down there. One's a link to this article I just read from. A couple are some channels of interest. And there will be a link to that Coffee Butler song, The Beautiful Isle of Key West. If you have the time, I encourage you to check all of them out. And if you're at any of the Buffett shows, please, 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 I can't say that enough, reach out to me at songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com. I would love to see your photos, your videos, and hear your thoughts about what it was like to see Jimmy live in that magical island town. And did you see Jimmy in that magical island town? I saw a post on Instagram of a lady who took a picture with Jimmy. He was just walking down the street. And for some reason, she managed to talk to him and get a picture of him. I don't know if he wanted to be known like that or not, but there's a picture. And it's obvious he was standing on the street corner all by himself. It looked like no entourage or nothing. So that's pretty cool. So if you have stuff like that too, I would love to see that or hear some stories. Maybe you hung out with him while he was in Key West. That'd be cool to hear, too.
McKinley Holler, McKinley Small, Dr. Sue McKinley, her death is on the wall. Say it to me. If you got something to confess, I heard all about it. He was going down slow. I heard it all. The wireless radio from down in the boondocks, way down in Key West. I'm searching for love. For inspiration, on that pirate radio station, coming out of Luxembourg and Budapest, radio signal, clear as can be, I'm so deep in love that I can hardly see. Down in the flatlands, way down in Key West.
This week, something a bit different. I'm going to dive into the entire Bob Dylan song, Key West, Philosopher Pirate, a song he has played live 103 times since 2021. I'm kind of surprised by that. And I thought I would share this song on the podcast in a different kind of way. Never done this type of episode before, but I'm always up for a new challenge. I hope you are too. The song is just shy of 10 minutes, so I'm going to play the whole song but break it up into small intervals while diving deep into the song by way of Wikipedia, kind of like a reaction video on YouTube without the video. Hope you enjoy it. Now let's drift back into the song and then get into the Wikipedia article.
Key West is the place to be if you're looking for immortality. Stay on the road, follow the highway, fine. Key West is fine and fair. If you lost your mind, you'll find it there. Key West is on the horizon line. I was born on the wrong side of the railroad track, like Ginsburg, Corso, and Kerouac, like a Louie and Jimmy and Buddy and all the rest. Well, it might not be the thing to do, but I'm sticking with you through and through. Down in the flatland, way down in the Key West, I got both my feet landed square on the ground. Got my right hand high with the thumb down. Such is life, such is a happiness.
Key West, Philosopher Pirate, is a song written and performed by the American singer-songwriter Bob Dylan, of course, we all know that, and released as the ninth track on his 2020 album, Rough and Rowdy Ways. It is a mid-tempo, accordion-driven ballad that has been cited as a high point of the album by many critics. It is the only song on the album to feature a traditional chorus, and one of only two songs, the other being I've Made Up My Mind to Give Myself to You, to feature backing vocals.
Hibiscus flowers, they grow everywhere here. If you wear one, put it behind your ear. Down on the bottom, way down in Key West. Key West is the place to go. Down by the Gulf of Mexico, beyond the sea, beyond the shifting sand. Key West is the gateway key to innocence and purity. Key West is the enchanted land. I've never lived in the land of Oz. Oh, wasted my time with an unworthy cause.
An article in Keys Weekly remarked upon how the song appeared to be written with an insider's knowledge of Key West, Florida, as the lyrics reference landmarks Mallory Square and Bayview Park, as well as the island city's Amelia Street and storied history. Truman had his winter house there. The article also quotes Joe Faber, the owner of Captain Tony's Saloon, who said that Dylan used to come in here, sit, and hang out when the venue was owned by the city's colorful former mayor, Tony Terracino. As a result, the bar contains a stool with Dylan's name painted on it. Historian Douglas Brinkley confirmed that Dylan, who was very good friends with Key West resident and fellow songwriter Shel Silverstein, has frequented Key West off and on throughout his life. Dylan has also expressed enthusiasm for the songwriting of Jimmy Buffett, one of Key West's most famous residents, covering A Pirate Looks at 40 in concert and citing the songs Death of an Unpopular Poet and He Went to Paris as his favorite Buffett compositions in an interview.
It's hot down here, and you can't be overdressed. Tiny blossoms of a toxic plant, they can make you dizzy
like to help you, but I can't. Down in the flatlands, way down in Key West, where the fishtail ponds and the orchid trees, they can give you that bleeding heart disease. People tell me I ought to try a little tenderness on Millie Street, Bayview Park, walking in the shadows after dark, down under, way down in Key West. I play gumbo limbo spirituals. I know all of the Hindu rituals. People tell me that I'm truly blessed.
Key West is actually the second song Dylan has written about the Florida Keys. He wrote the lyrics to the first Florida Key in 1967. Although the words were not set to music and recorded until the song was completed by Taylor Goldsmith for the New Basement Tapes project in 2014. Both Florida Key and Key West contain a verbal play on key, using the word to connote both the name of a geographical place as well as a device for unlocking something, e.g., nothing's locked, never will be, in the earlier song, and Key West is the gateway key to innocence and purity in the later one. In addition to the then current members of Bob Dylan's touring band, Key West features Benmont Tench on Hammond organ. Some critics have compared the music to Dylan's melancholy 1989 love song, Most of the Time.
Bougainvillea blooming in the summer and the spring. Winter here is an unknown thing. Down in the flatlands, way down in the Key West. Key West is under the sun, under the radar, under the gun. You stay to the left, and then you lean to the right. Feel the sunlight on your skin, and the healing virtues of the wind. Key West is the land of light. Wherever I travel, wherever I roam, I'm not that far from the home.
Rolling Stone ranked Key West the second best song of 2020, behind only Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's WAP, and placed it seventh on a list of the 25 best Bob Dylan songs of the 21st century. In an article accompanying the latter list, music journalist Rob Sheffield extrapolated from the impressionistic lyrics, a narrative about a grizzled outlaw hiding out in Florida, hounded by his memories. Hyperallergetics' Lucas Fagan wrote that, in a voice drunk on blood and sunshine, Dylan sings a rapturous, almost operatic ode to the island, going overboard in his praise, but notes that the song resonates thanks to the specificity and absurdity of its conceit, and calls it emotionally direct and weirdly moving.
Do what I think is right, what I think is best. Mystery Street, off of Mallory Square. Truman had his White House there. Eastbound, westbound, way down in Key West. 12 years old, they put me in a suit, forced me to marry a prostitute.
There were gold fringes on her wedding dress. That's my story, but not where it ends. She's still cute, and we're still friends. Down on the bottom, way down in Key West.
I hope you enjoyed that information trip throughout the song, and I hope you enjoyed the song as well. I really like it and enjoy it, but I've been a Bob Dylan fan for a bit, so it's not a stretch for me to enjoy his music. And if you get a chance, search out Bob Dylan's version of A Pirate Looks at 40 on YouTube. It is a duet with Joan Baez, and it's real good stuff.
I play both sides against the middle, trying to pick up that pirate radio signal. I heard the news, I heard your last request. Fly around my pretty little miss. I don't love nobody, give me a kiss. Down on the bottom, way down in Key West. Key West is the place to be if you're looking for immortality. Key West is paradise divine. Key West is fine and fair. If you lost your mind, you'll find it there. Key West is on the horizon line.
I hope that puts you in a Key West mood. I know it did for me when I listened to it. And did you hear me say Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway? I did a brief carpool podcast episode on that recently. It's a little rough in sound, but gives you the gist of what that's all about. And if it goes through and it passes, a section of highway called A1A that runs all the way to Key West will be called the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. I certainly hope it happens because he deserves that honor. And if they do approve it, I hope to drive it one rag-top day. And there might be some talk in those episodes about Jimmy in the present tense. Those episodes were written and recorded before Jimmy passed. I tried to edit out as much of that stuff as I could, but can't catch it all. And some stuff actually works in the present tense because it flows with other parts of the conversation. So I couldn't take all of it out, in case you were a little bit confused of why it was there. So that's the reason. Time to shut it all down and close out the episode. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And if you do enjoy what I do here, don't forget to rate and review this podcast once you finish the episode. And the links to Patreon, Ko-Fi, and my stories, and how to contact me can be found in the show notes. And the song that will close out the episode is one called We Own Key West by Scott Kirby from his album Chasing Hemingway's Ghost. I really like the album, and I really like this song, and I hope you do too. Take care, and thanks for listening.
You can roll a bowling ball all the way down to Hall, never hit a single soul at all till the Gulf of Mexico. Down to the Atlantic end, a couple fools gathering to catch a wave as a storm rolls in from the coast of Africa. We don't need no damn evacuation. Welcome to our island home staycation. Well, it's just us here. Why don't we share a beer?
maybe shed a tear, and laugh the night away. It's been a perfect day in every way. When this town takes a rest, our nights like this, we own Key West.